I went to Morocco for a month and then stopped doing some of the things that I had been doing, and our numbers suffered. I'm Mo McKibben. I work at Help Scout and I lead an initiative there called Support Driven Growth.
There is a growing movement of business owners who know that better isn't always bigger. They know that growth isn't necessarily bad. It should just be questioned first. Welcome to the Company of One podcast. I'm your host, Paul Jarvis, author of the book called Company of One, your ride or die for challenging the current business paradigm of growth hacks and scale at all costs. The show picks up where my book left off and dives deep into why staying small might be the next big thing for your business. Join over 24 million businesses who've used FreshBooks to simplify their invoicing and accounting. Go to freshbooks.com/companyofone, all one word, and enter Company of One in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started with your 30-day free trial. No credit card required.
Actually, my boss at the time, Eli, this is when I was in marketing, was like, we probably need to scale Mo because like Mo needs to be able to go away and we need to still be able to make money doing this, which is when we kind of overlaid what I had been doing under the marketing umbrella onto the support channel. So support-driven growth is a business approach geared at turning the customer support channel from a cost center to a critical revenue driver. So as far as why I think support-driven growth is useful, I think it is useful to any business with a customer support team. Customer support people are experts in two critical areas of your business, your product and your customers. So as I was just talking about, we track insights in our support queue from product development to content ideas for marketing and the blog. And like I said before too, these are the kind of insights that are usually accomplished with like lots of money and things like market research and surveys. But also the customer support team is the personification of your brand. So these one-on-one interactions are where loyalty and enthusiasm for your company is either won or lost. And yet this role is generally associated with comparably low wages, and customer support often doesn't have a seat at the table when it comes to like larger business decisions. Like the way I see it, and this is super cheesy, but so support-driven growth is... I've kind of described it before as like using all parts of the buffalo. So it's just like a more sustainable way to do business. And sustainability in business is very important to me. I've worked at two companies that went through major layoffs. And while I was always safe, like I can say from experience, it was just like a total morale killer. That and in general, like I've just like been pretty scrappy my whole life with my own money. So like the idea of like spending money that you don't need to spend, like even if it's like a business and it's not my money, like it just makes me very nervous. So as far as like sustainability is concerned, so you have this team, it's your support team. And the support team is one of the only teams that actually has to grow linearly with your business. And by that, I mean, as you get more customers, you obviously need to be able to support them. So hence the linear growth. So now they already know your customers. They already know your product. It's simply elevating the role to be more central to business decisions. So for us, that's on things like product roadmap and development. But for having a seat at the table and just also having the types of discussions with customers that contribute to revenue. As far as why companies don't do it, I just think it's kind of like, I think there are a lot of stigmas around customer support. I think that oftentimes when you say that you work in customer support or you hire for customer support, people imagine something that looks like a super bleak call center that has like flickering fluorescent lights and, you know, bad Folgers, Mr. Coffee, drip coffee. And that's like what I think most folks' perception of customer support is. So, but you know, the truth is that these are really people who talk to your customers every day. They get to know your product in a way that nobody else does. And for even just for those two reasons alone, they should have more of an impact in terms of decisions made on the business. I also do think that most folks, the reason many companies don't do that is because historically, customer support has been considered a cost center as opposed to a revenue driver. it's really hard if you're seeing it as a cost center to justify paying the types of salaries that having an excellent support team would require. So I feel like many companies haven't like necessarily made the jump in terms of the value of customer support on their business. Like a lot of companies pay lip service to the value of customer support on their business, but they don't actually see the value in terms of actual revenue driven by customer support. And so that is kind of like our goal with customer support, is that we want to help support teams draw that direct line between actions that they're doing and also revenue gained by the company. So we were able to do that for ourselves. And it ended up being like a 6% increase in like trial to paid conversions. And so that was part of the reason why we started adopting this as like a larger business strategy for ourselves as well. There are, however, I don't want to be super doom and gloom and bleak in terms of like other companies, because there are actually some other companies that are doing this right now. So yeah, there are some really cool customers that are basically doing this exact same thing that we've kind of discovered now since we've started talking about it publicly. So like I'll be talking about support-driven growth at a conference or something, and people will come up and be like, oh my gosh, we do this exact same thing, but we didn't have a name for it. So Shopify does something similar. So does Kettle and Fire, which is a bone broth company. And then Guru does this too. That's a knowledge management software, although I do believe that they keep it more under like the customer success umbrella. So I do think this support-driven growth concept is kind of a zeitgeisty idea. We're just trying to like codify it and evangelize it at Help Scout.
If you don't want to grow your business and hire a huge staff, you'll need trustworthy and valuable partners to keep your business running smoothly. That's why FreshBooks and their invoicing and accounting software makes sense. You can rely on them to take care of your invoicing and even late payment reminders, as well as tracking all of your expenses. Think of FreshBooks as the accounting department you don't have to hire. The FreshBooks Notification Center is like your very own personal assistant. It always lets you know what's changed in your business since you last logged in and what needs to be dealt with pronto, like overdue payments. So join over 24 million people who use FreshBooks. Try for free for 30 days, no catch or credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/companyofone, all one word, and enter Company of One in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started.
One of the tactics that we deploy in our support queue as part of support-driven growth is this thing that we call yes and, which for any fellow improvisers out there listening is also the core principle of improvisation. So in improv, to keep a scene going, you must agree with whatever your partner throws at you. So that's the yes. And then contribute more information to move the scene forward. If you say no, or like disagree, basically, it stops the scene dead in its tracks. And then if you say yes, but then you don't add additional information as the and, that it also stops the scene dead in its tracks. So the same is true for conversations with customers. So how this might look in a support conversation is a customer asks something like, do you have a MailChimp integration? And then the support person asks, yes, and did you know that you could use Workflows, which is a feature we have, to organize your newsletter replies? And so Workflows are a standard feature, and I see you're on Basic. If you want to give those a whirl, you can upgrade your plan here. So that's yes, and it's basically a yes and upsell in action. If it's actually a no, then depending on how no it is, we also do something that we call leading with the positive. So even if it's a no, but we do know customers have solved this problem with either another tool or something that we do have, but it's just not exactly the same solution, the conversation might look like this instead. So maybe the customer asks something like, do you have checklists that I can use for task tracking and project management? Which is not something that we have in Help Scout. So then the support person answers something like, many of our customers actually use Asana or Trello for project management, and there are some really handy Zaps that can get those tools to play nicely with Help Scout. So answering that and the details of how that might work is the yes. Then we continue just to be fully honest and transparent with our capabilities, like maybe saying something like, otherwise we don't have checklists or built-in project management features in Help Scout, and we don't plan on building them. And then we also like might give some more context around that depending on the situation or the customer or the exact question. And then we can still yes and this. So if the customer is evaluating and not on trial, we can say something like, hey, I also noticed you haven't signed up for a trial yet. It's pretty easy and you can do that here. So that is basically yes and, even though it's technically a no. And that's like what we call like applying a growth mindset to conversations. And then just some other tidbits, we'd also probably like put a tag on that conversation. And if that was a feature we didn't have, but would build, then we would use those like tags to track and communicate with our product team that that's an in-demand feature for when those requests reach critical mass. And so the other main tactic that we use is something called proactive reactions. So proactive reactions are basically automated notifications that happen when a customer is either looking at something that indicates that they would be an upsell opportunity, or they're not taking an action that we know if they took would contribute to them becoming a paying customer. So the way I like love to explain proactive reactions is kind of like when I was working at Starbucks. So you're working at Starbucks, you're just, you know, helping customers like making drinks. But I happen to work in a store that like also sold espresso machines. If it wasn't like very busy with line out the door and somebody was looking at the espresso machines, you would walk over and explain to them how the espresso machine worked, you know, maybe do a demo, do like a tasting, and that's how you would sell espresso machines. So proactive reactions are kind of like that, like a little notice that they're looking at a specific page or they're doing some sort of action in the app that would indicate that they might have interest to actually spend more money. And so then those notifications go into our support queue and we have like a series of saved replies that allow us to reach out to them. And as far as the other proactive reactions go, the other Starbucks analogy that I use is occasionally somebody will like walk into the store and they will just sit and stare at the menu like they cannot read anything on it. And so at that point, you standing at the register would reach out to them and be like, hey, can I get something started for you? And the customer would do one of two things, either realize that they don't want anything and run out the door, which is totally fine if you can't help them. Or then it would trigger in their mind like, oh, like I need to actually order something. Or they would ask you a question to see like what they should order based on their tastes. So in two of the three situations, you are either getting the customer to buy right away, like maybe it's like they're panic a drink and you're just like snapping them out of it, or you're engaging them in a conversation that will eventually lead to them buying, or you're just getting rid of the customers that like accidentally walked in and they therefore you don't have to spend any more attention to them. So it's just kind of a way to flag when people are not taking actions that they should, that would normally lead to buying, in a way that you can then reach out to them and ask what's going on and have like a little bit more contextual idea. The reason we do it in the support queue as opposed to having it purely automated is that we have a lot of them. We have a lot of these triggers, and depending on other conversations they've had with your support team, or other actions that they've taken, they might actually trigger one of those flags, but because they've triggered like flag A, B, and C and are communicating with support, it would just be annoying if they got an automated email. So this way we can kind of see what else that they're doing and make a judgment call, because we're human beings, on if it makes sense to reach out to them support. So it's like nicer for the customer because it's like not annoying and they're only getting contextual support, but they're getting like proactive contextual support in the times that they really kind of need it the most.
So what's interesting here, as Mo points out, is that brand loyalty is won or lost in the support queue, but support staff typically don't have a seat at the table for larger business decisions, and it kind of sounds like they should. And Mo and Help Scout are aiming to change this. So support-driven growth is a business approach aimed at shifting the customer support channel from a cost center, basically expenses, to a critical revenue driver, which seems like it makes sense since support staff are in direct contact with customers all day, every day. And since formalizing Mo's support-driven growth initiative in May of 2018, Help Scout has engaged with a subset of prospects in one-on-one coaching calls, webinars, email, and chat. And among those support-engaged trial customers, 42% of them became customers. So in other words, support-driven growth works. It works really freaking well. Company of One is hosted by Paul Jarvis. Hey, that's me. If you haven't already, check out my book, also called Company of One, which is available around the world in digital, audio, and physical formats. Thanks again for listening to the show.